have some ideas if you want to start drawing anything. So you could draw that awesome story of the Old Testament where you got Daniel and his three friends, and the three friends are thrown into the fire, but they survive because Jesus is with them. You may have heard the legend of King Midas. If not, I will tell it in the sermon. But if you know it, you can have a head start. If not, keep an ear out so you know what to draw. And you might want to draw some coins or something. Why not draw a scale? And you've got all these coins, as much gold as you can possibly draw on the scale, and it's been completely outweighed by just someone praying. Something like that, you know. Faith is worth more to Christ than gold. But with that said, may I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What are we fascinated by? What distracts us from Christ? Peter had once been fascinated and distracted by glory. When he thought that Jesus was going to die in a blaze of glory, attacking his enemies with mighty weapons, Peter was all up for that. But when Jesus made it very clear that that was not how he was going to die, and he was going to be crucified like a criminal, Peter ran away. He couldn't handle that. But in this letter, we see that Peter is now someone that people can rely on. People from very far away are wanting his leadership, and they feel they can depend on him. He's very humble, and he's not tempted by the glory of this world. So what's changed for him? Well, maybe we should start where Peter does. He's got this very interesting list he starts this passage off with and this whole epistle off with. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are the Anatolian people. These are places that Peter evangelized with his brother Andrew, but Peter preached in a lot of places. What was it about these places that made them need to hear today's message? He mentions Pontus first. There we go. And perhaps rightly so, because under the leadership of this guy, Mithridates the Great, they were able to stand up against the Roman Empire, and they very nearly defeated it, despite being so much smaller. But the reason was, Pontus was very rich in gold mines. They could just pay for whatever they needed. And when we look at the province of Asia, this used to be the kingdom of Lydia, where they invented money in the first place. People at the time of Peter could still use coins minted from that ancient kingdom, and you could be paying for your groceries with the very first coin that had ever been minted, which was quite amazing. So the Pontic people, they had all these gold mines, but the Lydians, they knew what to do with it. They knew that pure gold does not decay over time. It isn't dissolved in acid. If you did chemistry at any point, you might know that it's a noble metal, which means it doesn't react to things and break down. It's basically a perfect, everlasting substance. If you refine a piece of gold, so there's nothing in it that is not gold, then you're left with something that has no defects. There's nothing that can be targeted in it to make it break down. When you've got 24 karat gold, you've got something that does not decay. And that's what the Lydians found out. In Cappadocia, they still lived in these ancient underground cities, these massive things filled with glory. They kind of remind me of the dwarves from Lord of the Rings, you know, digging deep with their ancient mines, too deep and too greedily. Then you have Galatia. This used to be called Phrygia, this area. And its capital was Ancyra, which was founded by the legendary King Midas, pictured there. You might have heard of this legend before. This was the man who gained the power to turn whatever he touched into gold. But then he prayed for everything to be turned back when he hugged his daughter and then she turned into a gold statue. This kingdom of Phrygia was conquered by the Celts, who renamed it Galatia. They were honor-bound warriors and they hoped to remain exiles in this land. But soon the allure of gold made them simply integrate into this kingdom. They were, by Peter's time, largely indistinguishable from the Anatolians around them. Finally, we have Bithynia. This was a mighty kingdom founded by the Thracian people. To give you a hint about what the Thracians are like, they were close relatives of the Cimmerians that you might know from Conan the Barbarian. Obviously, Conan wasn't a real Cimmerian, but his stories are based on what these like warrior people were really like in the past. By trusting in their strength, these newest kids on the block came to rule over all these other ancient and rich kingdoms. But, like all the others, the pull of gold corrupted them. The Thracians bought into the ancient civilization that made these riches, and soon they too became indistinguishable from their neighbors, just like the Galatians. Now think about each of these kingdoms. Each of them used to be honorable and noble, but the love of money slowly corrupted them all. Like King Midas, they had all focused on gold, and then everything else fell by the wayside. The reason for that is that gold seems like an inheritance that never perishes. Empires rose and fell, people came and went, but things just seem to stay the same. And if you built these golden wonders, or you put your face or your name on a golden coin, your inheritance would last as long as the world does. Even 2,000 years later, you can look at a coin like this and it looks brand new, doesn't it? Like, you wouldn't know that's from 2,000 years ago. There's like, you know what I mean? It seems to last forever. It's something you seem to be able to trust in. But to these people, Peter gave the incredible revelation that gold actually does perish, even if it has been refined by fire. He might have been thinking back to Jesus' teaching that we should store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves don't steal. Or maybe he thought about Job, where he said that we can't bring our gold with us when we die. Now, when you think about it that way, those ancient coins seem a lot less impressive. This king, Mithridates, every single coin he made may be in perfect condition, but he just left it in perfect condition for someone else. He doesn't get to keep, that's not his coin anymore, he's gone. For Peter, that's just not good enough. It's not good enough that something just survives longer than you do. Peter's looking for something a lot better. He wants something you can take with you when you die, and you can keep it forever. Maybe Peter's also thinking about Judgment Day. Then all the world's gold will be destroyed, ready to be remade into new creation stuff. On that day, even this coin, you know, if Mithridates, if all his trust is in gold, it'll all be melted away and he'll be completely forgotten. So what is there that can withstand Judgment Day? What can we trust in? Well, Peter tells us that our faith can last till the final day when Jesus returns. But it must be proved first. Think about how that gold could only last as long as it did if you burnt away all the other stuff in it. That pure gold survives. So we have to have pure faith if we want it to last. If we are made out of pure faith so the judgment doesn't burn us up, we can have an inheritance nobody can take from us. After hundreds of thousands of years in the new creation, we'll look back on those gold coins and we'll think they were cut tragically short with only 2,000 years surviving in only a blip of time. Those golden lives will seem like blades of grass, here one day, gone the next. Our house in heaven cannot be stolen, it cannot be destroyed, and we will never die and be taken from it. Never in all of eternity can we lose that inheritance. It's already more ancient than anything the world has to offer, because it was handed down by the prophets. The prophet Zechariah said in Luke 1:20 that the Lord spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Our faith is the same faith that the prophet Adam had. He passed it on to Enoch. He passed it on to Noah. He passed it on to Abraham. He passed it on to Israel. They passed it on to the apostles. And here's one of these apostles passing it on to us. So this faith Peter's talking about is older than gold itself. Peter says they did this for our sake. They could have received Jesus and kept him all to themselves, but they worked hard instead to preserve all this wisdom they had about Jesus for us. It reminds me of Chief Seattle's phrase, "We don't inherit the earth from our ancestors, we borrow it from our children." We have to keep handing this faith down because of how precious it is. Notice how the angels aren't impressed by those golden coins, but they desperately want to find out more about our faith. This isn't something we can just hold on to. We have to keep it going, finding new people that can pass it on. But if it is real, pure faith, it has to be proved. It has to be made 24-carat pure faith. This means there is temptation, suffering, and persecution. All of this fire we have to go through is meant to burn away whatever fascinates us that isn't Jesus. Remember, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you still hold on to the things that will perish on that final day, you will perish on the final day. But is that even possible? I mean, who can be made 100% of eternal stuff that isn't burnt away? Who lasts forever? Well, Jesus is a 24-carat guy. He really is the real deal. He's without blemish, without defect. He's a human being, just like we are. And he made it possible to be the real deal. We're still celebrating Jesus' resurrection in Eastertide. That resurrection proves that Jesus lasts, and not even death can wear him down. Peter tells us that he shields us through our faith, but he also tells us to be exiles, not to be like the world around us. We're supposed to be better than those Anatolians who gave up their lofty ideas for mere gold or whatever else fascinated them. Jesus proved that this can be done, and he's willing to walk us through that process. We have to keep believing in him, so he protects us. But we need to be ready for that refining fire that burns us, so we have nothing else we can hold on to. Jesus will attack everything that fascinates us that is not him, and he can even burn away gold. If we hold on to anything that isn't him, we'll get burnt, and if we keep holding on till judgment day, we will be destroyed with it. So, what are the things that fascinate us? What distracts us from Christ? We all want life. The people of Anatolia thought they could get it out of gold because they thought it lasts forever. They were wrong. It doesn't. Maybe today we think there's something eternal about ourselves, and maybe we're fascinated by ourselves. Maybe we think we can get life out of self-improvement or self-indulgence. But in truth, we last even less than gold. Jesus once asked his disciples, Peter included, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Peter searched diligently for Christ. He went through the refining fire and gave up his love of glory. And when he had pure faith, he passed it on to others. And we are here today because he and his colleagues did so. When he was tempted with fame, life, and pleasure, there was nothing that Peter would rather have than Jesus. He was ready to die rather than choose anything else. Think about Daniel's friends in exile. These three friends were forced to either worship gold or die. They were in Babylon, just like Anatolia, very ancient, filled with gold and power. These Christians believed in something better than gold or Babylon. This king Nebuchadnezzar was offended and said, "Let's see if you can survive the furnace like gold can." And amazingly, they did. They survived and they could pass right through the fire. Right there with them was the Lord Jesus, shielding them, like Peter promises. When Nebuchadnezzar found out that there's something greater than gold, he converted. I mean, imagine if Nebuchadnezzar was able to take all this gold up to heaven. An angel would probably stop him and ask what he's doing with all that pavement. He had a Midas moment. He realized that there's something better than gold. Jesus is better than gold in every way. We have to be ready to do the same. And if we're not, we have to let Jesus refine us to make us pure 24-carat Christians. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed all the power, all the glory, and all the worship, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.